back.
Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty, slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, we made it in here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 29th of, it's the last day of February. I just realized that. And it's a Monday. Hope you guys had a good weekend. We did pretty good up until midday yesterday. We found out that there was a pretty serious wreck up here in the highway. Road was closed and traffic was diverted around way around, and better part of the day they were cleaning that up, and just another wreck. And we when my daughter got to school today, she texted Amy, and hey, Big Ear Dave, I'm not sure just exactly who you are, but I've never seen you before, but welcome to the Shooting Bench. Glad you dropped in. Anyway, this wreck was, my daughter called from school and said, told us who it was. It was a girl that she knew there at the school. She's a grade ahead of her, or two grades ahead of her. And this is the girl that recites the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. over the PA system as school starts and makes any announcements that need made and everything. And apparently she was driving the car and pulled right out in front of a tractor and trailer. Killed her and her dad, killed her dad instantly. And they tried to save her there for a while, but she didn't make it. So I can't imagine how unless her mother has already passed away or whatever, I would assume that she's got a mother here somewhere, and I can't imagine how she feels. Any other siblings? My daughter thinks she may have some siblings also. So can't even. Okay, all right, Dave. I know who you are now. Thanks for dropping in. Yeah. So this, I can't imagine what the mother must be and the siblings must be going through. Grandparents, you know, something like this touches a lot of people. We went to this thing at the school, and I don't normally go to stuff like that, but I wanted to go just to support my daughter and let her know that we were thinking of her and everything. And good Lord, I felt so sorry for some of those kids. There was a couple of girls there that were just absolutely beside themselves, just inconsolable. And you just wanted to go up and hug all of them. You know, it was terrible. So anyway, we stayed there until, hey, C7, brother, glad you made it in here. Good to see you. It's been a while. It was so bad, and didn't make for a happy evening by any remote stretch of the imagination. So, but anyway, it didn't last too long. We kind of snuck out of there right as the last song was playing there, and got out before the traffic. There was quite a few people there. Let's see. Give me just one second here. Okay. So, let's get on with a lot of news, a lot of stuff going on. There's rallies all over the country coming up this coming Saturday and a few on Friday for the Finicums, for Freedom, for the Bundys, for Liberty in general. And there's going to be some big ones. There's one down in Tucson that I know of, one in Salt Lake City. Some back, I mean, they're just literally hundreds all over the country, everywhere. And so I hope that some of you are able to make that. And Dave, yes, she was active in band. She was a trumpet player, the girl that got killed. And we heard the, you know, kind of a little bit about her history there with the school and with band and everything. So the band played a song featuring mainly the trumpet, and then the choir sang a song, and it was quite a touching deal, and all those kids, man, just did not make my day, I can tell you that. But, I being as she was driving, you know, I got to I don't know if that's going to have any effect on how the mother feels. I can say that, and some of you will probably agree, I'm kind of glad that, well, I don't know if glad is the right word, but, you know, at least, let's put it this way, as long as she is gone too, she don't have to live the rest of her life knowing that she killed her dad by pulling out in front of the thing, or that, and feel like it was her fault. You know, we have no idea what exactly happened. From what looks of things, she simply pulled out in front of a semi. There's no stop sign, no turn, no anything for the semi, just straight road. And I doubt that she run the stop sign. I imagine she just pulled out right in front of it. It happens there quite often. At that particular intersection. This is certainly not the third or fourth one since we've been here. So if you guys can hear that racket in the background, let me know. If we have to, we'll shut it off. I don't know. Just let me know if you can hear it. And if so, we'll shut it down. Okay, let's move on here. Let's get away from the doom and gloom. It was a terrible thing. So, like I said, lots of rallies and stuff going on. And hey, Ralph Rowe made it in. Backwoods Mom, you're starting. You know, I'm sorry. I thought I wasn't going to be here, and I knew for sure Amy wasn't going to make it. And so we've probably only got, you know, less than half the people in the chat room that we normally have here lately. So, but that's okay, because the main amount of our listeners is outside of the chat room and on the podcast anyway. So we're just going to go on with it. And we're glad that some of you showed up here in the chat room to visit with, too. That's always a lot of fun. All right, let's see here. We've got several. We had several stories here to share with you. Got a bunch of them, actually. I've got these stacked up here for so long, been gone so much. But I found a new app today. Somebody posted on Facebook. And I've been thinking, for some of us that are, well, it could be anybody as far as that goes. I'm going to say some of us that are involved in the Patriot movement and everything, and you start thinking, you lay there in bed thinking, when is it going to be your time? When are they going to come busting your door down in the middle of the night, and you know, and something happens? When are you going to be at a rally sometime, and same thing happened with you that has happened to the Bundys and to, you know, everybody else there? Who's going to know where you're at? What if you are you're alone out on a lonesome road somewhere, and or maybe you're just out there and have a flat tire, you know, run off the road, get stuck in the snow, you know, water pump goes out in the middle of nowhere or something. So you know, I guess if the water pump goes out in the middle of nowhere, that's a different deal, because you can probably just still call. But I got to thinking, what if I was out and something happened, and I either did not have time to call anybody and let them know what was going on, or the phone was confiscated before I was able to get the word out. So I put a pre-programmed, you know, a pre-recorded message on my phone. So if something were to happen, I can just push a couple of buttons, and that's going to go out to one person, probably my wife. And so I had her get a bunch of, you know, contact numbers of people that I know and family and authorities and everything. Hang on just one second, would you please? Okay, I'm back.
Remember to turn on when you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I got to thinking about all this, and this was just a few days ago, and then somebody posted this thing today for this cell 411. And what this is, I'm going to put a little video in the chat room for those of you that are in the chat, and for those of you that are not in the chat, I'll...
Have you?
Hang on a minute. Let me turn this on. Matter of fact, let me back this up. I'm gonna let you listen to this video. I think this could be a good deal. You know, there may be some privacy concerns, but I can't really imagine why that would be an issue over this particular thing. So listen, it's only a minute or so long. So listen to this video.
Have you ever asked yourself the question, who do you call when the police are harassing you? What if you're an activist and need help? Who do you trust enough to ask for help when your car breaks down, or when you're being bullied at school or need medical help? What about a terrorist attack or a mass shooting? Well, Cell 411 is a fantastic new app that allows you to issue real-time emergency alerts to your family, neighbors, or friends, to one of them or many, in an instant with the tap of a finger. The emergency alert includes your exact GPS coordinates, and your trusted friends will get turn-by-turn directions to your location so they can come and help you in need. You'll be notified of an ETA, who's coming to help you, and when they'll arrive at your location. All this happens within seconds. Cell 411 is changing the way humans are handling emergencies all over the world. And the best thing about it is that it's completely free. It's not dependent on government or decades-old analog telephone networks to function. Whether you're a student, parent, neighborhood watcher, or activist, this app is for you. Give it a try and download it today from GetCell411.com.
Okay, there you go. I don't see really any privacy issues here at all, because why would it matter in this particular situation? If you were going to call somebody, it's not like it monitors you all the time or anything. It's just a one deal. You push a button and it sends out a message. So in a medical emergency, let's say you feel dizzy, you're trying to make a call and you don't quite get it done. You got to punch the number in, wait for it to ring, wait for somebody to answer, and then relay the message. And this way, all you have to do is push the button. And then if you pass out, whether it's from, you know, heart attack, loss of blood, whatever the case may be, somebody knows where you're at and how to get there. So I think it's not a bad deal. The only bad thing I can say about it is it only works with other people that have the same app. So if you want close friends, family, to be able to respond to this, then obviously you're going to have to put it on the phone. It's only going to work on a smartphone. So, yeah. Well, there's part of it you have to have your location on. There's several features for this. Now, I got to thinking about this, and I usually have my location turned off on my phone. And I got to thinking about this, and I said, well, if I have my location turned off, what's this going to help? And then I went through a little drill with myself and timed myself. It takes me less than 5 seconds to open the phone, I mean, to get it fired up, turned on, whatever, and hit location, hit accept, wait for it to take effect, and then push this button. Takes less than 5 seconds. Actually, just a little over 4. So, I think that's still better. If I've got a group of jackbooted thugs chasing me or coming up to the car, that means in 5 seconds I can have that message sent, and I can smash my phone over the steering wheel, and it doesn't have a SIM card in it, so I can't really imagine that this is a bad thing. Some of you, if you have a SIM card, break the phone over your steering wheel, take the SIM card and break it in half. If you've got any information on there you don't want anybody to have, and most of us do. So I think it might be something to think about. And if we can get, you know, patriots in your group and some of your family to get this also, then you have a choice of who you send it to. You can send it to one person, you can send it to 5 or 10. I don't know what the limit is. So if something happens, then what I don't know yet, and I think it's a concern, and I haven't found out for sure yet, if you send that and you're in a no service area, will it go ahead and send when the phone goes into a service area, whether it's been confiscated or what? I don't know that. But, you know, nowadays there's so many places, maybe I should say again, that different, that there's not that many places where there's no service anymore. Certainly there is. Do what? Except our house. Yeah, except our house, Amy said. Certainly there's places out there, especially in the West, you go across Nevada and Oregon and all of the Western states, and these vast expanses of land, you run into some, no service areas, but I also don't think that that's generally not where you're going to need them. Maybe you will, but I think it's more in closer into the, to the urban areas where this would be more helpful, at least for the purposes that I was thinking about it for. So, something for you to... It was... what was the name of that? Let's see here. GetCell411.com is where that come from. I think I'm going to get it and get Amy's phone with it, and then at least I'll have somebody. And then if any of my friends decide to get that, then you know, we might be able to add them at a later date. But I think it sounds like a pretty neat deal. And you could also put, I'm sure, some of the authorities' numbers if you have any authorities that you trust. But all right, let's move on here. Let's look at some of the states. There was a Colorado state representative that, hang on a minute, cotton picking computer is messing up here. Colorado state representative who is a survivor of the Columbine shooting. And he is a pro-gunner now. He's looking at, I'm waiting for this cotton picking thing to open. There it goes. That's what happens when I come screaming in here late and don't get to reboot everything. But he said his name's Patrick Neville from Castle Rock, Republican. Survived that shooting in 1999. And he has introduced a bill in Colorado that's going to allow teachers there with concealed carry permits to carry handguns in school. And I'm sure that that's going to go over like a pay toilet in the diarrhea ward there when the other teachers get a hold of that. But talking about guns in schools, people think that it's just absolutely impossible, that you just can't do it. But there's 18 states actually that do allow firearms in schools, some with you know, more restrictions than others, and some there's very few restrictions. But there was quite a few lawmakers after Sandy Hook that really pushed this and tried to. They're looking at this realistically and saying, hey, you know, what is the best way to stop this? Well, since we don't want to send our fourth graders to school with a Glock 17. Well, maybe the janitor and the principal and the teachers, maybe if they carried a gun and were trained and had the desire and would do that, maybe that would be a good answer to this. So there was a lot of places, a lot of states out there that pushed these laws, and some of these have just gone through just in the last very few years. So there's... you know, it depends on, like Utah, for instance. I know you can carry, if you've got a concealed carry permit, you can carry a gun in the school in Utah. Go in there and pick up your kids, whatever, and nobody thinks anything about it. There's, I think Texas, I believe, passed there, I better not say that. I don't remember for sure. They were sure talking about it for a while, but anyway, Oregon school boards are. Already allowed to authorize teachers and other adults to carry guns on school grounds. A lot of places are authorized and legally can, but they don't. And that's unfortunate. So if we... I've got a little map that's loading here, and if that gets done in time, then we'll go over these. Let's try this and see if we can... In Arizona, unfortunately, that's one of the things that I, one of the few things about our gun laws that I don't like, is we cannot carry guns in school here. However, you can carry them onto school grounds in your car, but technically, it's supposed to be unloaded when you drive onto the school grounds. So what you got to do is pull over to the curb, unload the gun, and, go on in there and do what you got to do. Pull out, pull over the curb, load your gun back up, and go on about your business. If you want to be 100% legal, that's what you have to do in Arizona. Do you think anybody does that? It's doubtful. Most people don't even know anything about it. Alabama. See, here are the 18 states that allow adults to carry loaded weapons onto school grounds with few or minor conditions. Alabama, the bans possessing a weapon on school grounds only if the carrier has intent to do bodily harm. So that's intent's a little hard to prove in court. That's kind of stupid. Even California allows it with the approval of the superintendent, if you can believe that. Connecticut, with approval of school officials. Hawaii, no specific law on it. Idaho, with the school trustee's approval. Iowa, with authorization. Kentucky, with school board approval. Massachusetts, with approval of the school board or principal. Now, you got to understand, just because it says some of these allow it, like I said a while ago, they have not all... If it's up to the school board, then a lot of times the school board just doesn't permit it. So state law may permit it, but school board may prohibit it. Massachusetts, with the approval of the school board or the principal. Mississippi, with school board approval. Montana, with school trustees' permission. New Hampshire, ban applies only to pupils, not adults. New Jersey, with approval from the school's governing officer. New York, with the school's approval. Oregon, same thing. Rhode Island, with a state concealed weapons permit. Texas, with the school's permission. Okay, there you go. Utah, with approval of the responsible school administrator. And Wyoming, as long as it's not concealed. So you can open carry in schools in Wyoming, you just can't conceal it. I think they got that law from Retards R Us or something. I mean, that kind of makes no sense. But it's okay. If you want to open carry in school and it's all right with them, well, it's sure all right with me. So, that's... it's one of those many things, you know, we always wonder about this. Who comes up with these laws? If we talked about gun-free zones over and over and over again, and I don't understand. It kills me. I don't understand why it is these people don't see that 99.9% of these shootings is in gun-free zones. I don't understand what they don't get about that. You know, you don't see shootings at gun shows and... Well, pretty much anywhere. There's been, out of all the mass shootings in the last few years, there's only been two or three, four maybe, out of, what, 200 that were not in gun-free zones. So, for whatever benefit they get out of that, I don't know. B2 Basics put in the chat room there. We have our Arms Expo coming up again in Washington. And that's going to be on the, let me look, 17th, I think. 17th, 18th, and 19th of June, I believe it is. And the following weekend, we're going to have a 3-day personal defense handgun class, just like we did last year. Yeah, that's the 17th, 18th, and 19th of June. And then the 24th, 25th, and 26th will be the 3-day personal defense handgun class, and that includes a night shoot. And we're going to look and see if we can fit in there two evenings. We need about 3 hours or so per evening to do a Counter-Strike class. Counter-Strike class is I hesitate to call it a hand-to-hand class. It's a self-defense class using... some very easy techniques, some martial arts techniques there, but they're simple, easy to remember. It's not anything that you some up and coming black belt to take. That's not what it's all about. It's about people that are in school teachers, soccer moms, people that are overweight, amputees, just weak. Old, arthritic, you know, they still have the right to self-defense. And so this class is one that allows anybody. You don't have to be, hey, there's Catapon. By golly, I bet you we'll see him when we go to the expo. He'll probably be a vendor up there, as a matter of fact. And now that I see him on there, I keep forgetting. I've got a little banner I need to send back to him. I'll see if I can get it to you before... before the Cotton Picking Expo. But anyway, and by the way, Catapon builds some of the finest barrels for 10/22s and AR-15s, 22 barrels. And I can assure you, if you are an accuracy freak like I am, then check out some of Catapon's 10/22 barrels. Buyer barrels. I always say buyers. It's buyerbarrels.com. B-E-Y-E-R barrels.com. Check it out. And if you've got a 10/22 or an AR-15, you want a 22 caliber barrel for it, that's the guy to get it from right there. His prices are as good or better than any of the custom barrel makers out there. And I think that you'll be, well, I don't think nothing. I know damn well you'll be very happy with it. Backwoods Mom, yeah, you know, and I say this not to be a smart aleck, but what I got to say is, bad back or no bad back, are you just going to stand there if you're attacked? If you have a gun, obviously that's usually the best way to do it, especially if you have a bad back. But the other thing is, are you just going to stand there and say, you know, please don't do this, I have a bad back? So, you know, I don't know. Everybody has different limits to what they can do with a bad back. Believe you me, I damn well know that for a fact. Boy, do I ever. But there are some things that you can do. Some of them are, and it also depends on what the attack is, you know, what the attacker does. There are some things that are very short, sweet, simple, and to the point, and we're done. It's Miller time. And that might be something that you could do. And, you know, even if you're, it may be something that you're not able to practice a whole lot because of your back. And thank you, C7. I appreciate that. Although it's a birthday that I wasn't looking forward to, but thank you anyway. So it's something that you may not be able to practice real frequently, but you should slowly and carefully go through those movements occasionally once you learn them. And if the time comes, now, even if it hurts your back a little bit, you may be able to deliver that very quick, decisive blow or punch, kick, whatever it may be. And that may be all it takes. And you may be on the floor when you get done with it, but, you know, with any luck, you've put the guy down. So I can't tell you, Backwoods Mom, you know, what you can and can't do, and whether the class would be... You know, only you can answer that. So I can tell you there's not anything in the class that requires you to be real warmed up and stretched out and everything and ready to fight. That's exactly why we designed this class. This is for somebody to just get up out of a chair, a secretary at the bank, to just get up out of a chair and be able to perform some of this stuff without going through a bunch of 6 months of instruction and there are a year or two or five or 20 years so you can get your black belt or whatever. That's not what it's about. So that's why we come up with the Counter-Strike class. So back to what we were talking about there. We're going to try to pick a couple of nights there in Backwoods Mom. I feel for you. I really do. Let's see. Looking at what C7 has got. Buyer barrels, 10/22, bad scope. We'll take a scope and change. Let's see. All right, let's move on here. We already talked about our designated rifle, our rifleman class down in Buckeye, Arizona, coming up on 1st and 2nd of April. Personal Defense Handgun 2 coming up on 12th and 13th of March in 2 weeks here. That'll also be down in Buckeye, Arizona. Then we're going to have a long-range handgun class and a few other things coming up here before the... trying to get our winter and spring schedules up here pretty quick. I hate coming in late like this. It always messes me up. So I'm going to We're going to take a little short break here, and we'll be back in just a minute. I said we're going to take a little short break here.
And on the eighth day,
there you go.
And on the eighth day, God made the farmer. But he was not done. He looked down on the wilds of his untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days, and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots in the kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, guys, you know as well as I do that I absolutely despise rap. There is one song that's got a good theme to it that's a country rap type deal, one and one only, that I like pretty well. But I've got to play something for you here, and this to me is extremely significant. This is a rap song, but it was written by some rappers about Lavoie Finicum's death, his murder. And how significant, can you guys not see the significance of this? To have this guy, this Lavoie Finicum, to reach this group of people, this style, this era, this genre, whatever you want to call it. There wasn't a rap song. I mean, rappers just don't do this kind of stuff. So for Lavoie to inspire these people to, and I'm not going to say that I think the song is the greatest thing in the world. Like I say, rap makes me want to kill people. But this song and the idea that he has reached this type of people for this song to me is amazing, and I'm gonna play. I'm not gonna play the whole thing. It's 4 minutes long, but I'm gonna play a minute or so of it here, and try to listen to the words. It's a little tough to listen to, but check it out anyway. It's pretty neat.
To all my patriots, I call on you. If you don't stand up now, there'll be nothing you can do. Evil is coming, it's already been here. Fight for God, fight for family, and there's nothing to fear. To all my patriots, I call on you. If you don't stand up now, there'll be nothing you can do. Evil is coming, it's already been here. Fight for God, fight for family, and there's nothing to fear. No greater evil, no greater time. Danger to our families with premeditated crimes. Coming for our freedoms, we gotta regard the world. We're trying to take the land of which we drive. Trying to take our freedom, our lives, our souls. A tiny handful of elitists think we're under control. To a degree, the sleeping outnumber the breed. But big things happen with some TNT. Dear Lord, on my knees, I humbly pray. Need you to lead me into battle, cause you know the way. Majestic, omnipotent, maker of all. Bless me with your shine, so that I don't fall. Your holiness, my heart pushes me to encounter. For the die for you would be my finest hour. Bullets rain down on me like a murderous shower. But you give me the power not to run like a coward. To all my patriots, I call on you. If you don't stand up now, there'll be nothing you can do. Evil is coming, it's already been here. Fight for God, fight for family, and there's nothing to fear. To all my patriots, I call on you. If you don't stand up now, there'll be nothing you can do. Evil is coming, it's already been here. Fight for God, fight for family, and there's nothing to fear. Lord above, please guide my heart. Give me the courage to die for a brand new start. Patriots rise, stand up and don't fall. Fight with me now as we all stand tall. This ain't about just me and you. It's standing up to this evil little group. It's about lines in the sand. How far will you go while you're hearing this poem or some beat to a flow? I write from my mind one word at a time. Always trying to be on my articulate grind. When I ask for a sign and a message to rhyme, the Lord above shines down and gives me a line. I pull my heart.
That's got a, I don't know about y'all, but I tell you what, I despise rap music, but that, the idea behind this really,
really touches me. And Backwoods Mom hit it exactly right. You know, why did he do that? And Ralph Rowe also. Lavoie touched all Americans. Backwoods Mom said, for those of you not on the chat room, says, because his message was universal in that it spoke to all about all our freedoms. Yeah. That was a neat deal. Yeah, on C7, that was a good show when I had Lavoie. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play that again. I'm going to play that show again one of these days here soon. I had Lavoie actually right here in my home back in September of last year, and we did a show together. And I'm going to play that again here one of these days pretty soon. All right, Virginia now, starting July 1st this year, has to accept all concealed carry permits. Concealed carry reciprocity wins big in Virginia. The governor signed into law two or three days ago there. New reciprocity agreement after quite a fiasco that's been going on over the last few months. But concealed carry and reciprocity won. They have to accept all carry permits. That's a neat deal. You know, this is a bad deal right here. And it's kind of confusing. It's a little bit vague, if you ask me. A federal judge now has determined, Third Circuit Court judge has ruled now that recording police is not protected speech. This was a judge in Pennsylvania, U.S. District Judge in Pennsylvania, ruled that the First Amendment does not guarantee the right to record police unless the video is to be used as evidence, is meant to be used as evidence. Well, how are you going to know that the video is going to be used as evidence until something happens? In order to have it recorded when something happens, you have to be recorded before things start happening. So every time you take a video doesn't necessarily mean that it's planning on being used as evidence, but before the video is over, that may wind up being what happens. So anyway, and I don't understand all I know about this, how they're going to make that stick. But they made the ruling here against a couple of people from Philadelphia that its cameras was confiscated by the cops while the two were recording officers breaking up a house party. The Third Circuit judge ruled that unless the police are recorded with the stated purpose of being critical of the government, any such video isn't protected speech. Okay, so you can say, well, that's not so bad because, yeah, if we're going to take a video of it, what it means is if they catch you videoing and nothing happens, then evidently, I don't know what the penalty for it is. But so you have to have the stated purpose of being critical of the government. Then it's not protected speech. Now, it's funny that out of the same state, and 5 years ago, the police commissioner there published a deal that upheld the citizens' right to film cops. It's also interesting that it's been considered there a constitutional right to take video and take pictures in public places. We've been through this time and time and time again. The ACLU watches stuff like this. And tries to give tips and counseling to people in cases like this. So what this judge has said, in effect, is the act of creating a picture or a video is not in and of itself the equivalent of speech. So ACLU says they think that's inconsistent with the way people use video in conjunction with police interaction. So that's an interesting development there. We'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. Okay, how much time we got? We got 10 minutes left. You know, there's another thing here by Lavoie's daughter. I'm not going to play it today. I'm going to edit it and cut it down a little shorter. So I need to play it to myself first make it a little shorter for you. You know, there's a website called Bearing Arms, and they've been pretty good up until now. And a month ago today, they said Lavoie Finicum was not murdered. He forced Oregon police to shoot him. So what they did was 4 days after the shooting, they watched the video and said, okay, I can see that this was... They didn't take any time to look at the facts or to wait for more facts to come out. They just watched the video and said, oh, okay. Looks like he was pulling a gun, so they shot him. And they haven't rescinded that yet. So I am upset with Bearing Arms. And I B2 Basic, I'm sorry. I know that was uncalled for, a little R-rated kiss there that everybody heard. But, oh well. What do you mean married people don't kiss? These married people do, by golly. With monotonous regularity, I can tell you that. All right. Let's move on here. Let's see if we can catch one more if we got to get out of here. Looks like Big Ear Dave's already left us. He had to go milk him. Maybe he'll come back and visit with us again. We've got another new guy, and I don't know if he signed in tonight. Let me look and see what all's in there. We're kind of slim pickings in the chat room. Maybe one of the anonymous there. Got a guy that I just met here not too long ago that will probably become a regular listener. So that's a good thing. All right, let's pick another one up here that's not too long. You know, this is kind of interesting. And it's... I don't know what everybody will think about it, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway just because I saw it come across my news desk here, so to speak. It says that this new study says that Mormons are the most Republican of any religion. Which, to me, that is no big surprise, but it's a surprise that this kind of come out in the mainstream news here. But the percentage of adults in each group who lean toward or identify with the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. So here in Mormons, we have 70% that are Republican or lean Republican, 19% Democrat, and independent or no lean are 11%. The Church of the Nazarene, 63% Republican, 24% Democrat, 13%. Independent or none. Church of the Baptist Convention. I'm sorry. Jeez. Southern Baptist Convention. 64%. Lutheran Church, 59%. Assemblies of God, 57%. On down the line until you get to the Church of Christ at 50%. 39% Democrat. 11% independent or no leaning. You know. So I thought that was... Thought that was kind of interesting. It's kind of unusual to see Democrats in the Mormon Church, and I guess if you look at that, it's not, according to the study, it's not that unusual if it's 70% Republican, but. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't mean anything. I just thought it was an interesting little piece of trivia to throw out at you there. Some of these are just too... Oh, here's a good one. In Tennessee, this is nice and short to the point, the Barrett M82 sniper rifle became Tennessee's official state rifle last Wednesday after the Senate passed a resolution in support of this measure. This is, they're actually manufactured now in Christiana, which is just outside of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Joins a list of state symbols such as milk as the state's official beverage, the mockingbird is the state bird, and the raccoon is the state's wild animal. So that's kind of cool. Sniper rifle for the official state rifle. You know, there's, I think it's the C7. If you're still in there, you might know from New Mexico or Radio Doc. Maybe one of you know. While I was still there... Okay. Are they close? Sounds like I'm going to have to go kill some coyotes here. There, I don't remember if it was the 1911 or the Colt 45, the long Colt revolver. One or the other was the New Mexico state handgun or state pistol or state revolver or state something. I don't remember what it was, but that was the first state that I'd heard of that had adopted a state firearm. I thought that was kind of neat. Okay, well, I'm going to have to get out of here just a couple minutes early because it sounds like I need to go out and shoot a couple of coyotes. So I shall return tomorrow night, and Amy should be in here with us. We should be back to normal tomorrow, and I appreciate you all joining me. Sorry I had the false alarm that I wasn't going to be here, but all things go relatively normally. We'll be back tomorrow. C7, glad you dropped in again. All of you, especially you new guys coming in. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.